Okay, our next speaker is Joe Weed, who will speak on From Pole Cats to Cowboy Fiddlers, Following the Maiden's Prayer in Music and Sound. Joe is a producer, composer, musician, and recording engineer. He records acoustic music and produces films at his Highland studio near Los Gatos, California. He has released 6 albums of his own and produced many projects for independent artists and labels and done soundtracks for film, TV, and museums. He worked with Ken Burns' Florentine Films, and they'll feature Joe's composition, Hymn to the Big Sky, in their 2012 release, The Dust Bowl. Joe recently produced Pa's Fiddle, a collection of 19th century American music played by Pa Charles Ingalls, father of Laura Ingalls Wilder, the author of Little House on the Prairie. PBS has just filmed a concert based on that recording in Nashville, and Joe plays the guitar, mandolin, and fiddle.
Yeah, we have a great fiddle band up here, at least. Yeah, thank you very much. I will begin first. I just had a great example from Uncle Dave in the last session in the plenary. I want to acknowledge a few people before I begin so I don't forget or run out of time. So Dick Spotswood for invaluable help over the years, especially for my film, The Waltz to Westphalia. And I'd like to acknowledge also Sarah Cunningham for help with learning about ARSC and the people here. I'd like to acknowledge George Blood as well for help on personal projects. And I'd like to acknowledge Martin Fisher, from the Center for Popular Music at MTSU. I've done quite a bit of work there with Martin and with Dale Cockrell, and you guys have been great. You'll see a few of your images on the handout if you were lucky enough to get one. So, Cam, I'd like to acknowledge Cam and Mark to the AV crew for helping out. And Cam, if you could bring up track one on the CD, give us about 10 seconds, and then bring it down quietly after that. Check out this intro. Rapidly, as an aside, we're listening to Bob Wills. That's the label from the album, 1935. This is the cover, the first cover that appeared in the United States of the same piece 80 and change years earlier, A Maiden's Prayer or Maiden's Prayer. And my talk today will be about showing you and explaining and demonstrating how it went from this parlor piano piece with the image of a woman knelt in prayer in front of a cross and all her icons to this maiden with her shoulders bared, form-fitting dress in the piano bar. So, let's see. When Bob Wills recorded Maiden's Prayer in 1935, he yanked a Victorian piano piece out of the parlor, carved it down to its basic motive, coupled the melody with the surging beat of the new Western swing genre, and placed it squarely in the middle of the honky-tonk dance floor. Wills was doing exactly what American youth do today, as they create anew with the pearls of American culture, grinding them up and remixing the pieces into something they call their own. Maiden's Prayer will illustrate this process from the mid-1850s through the 21st century. I'm new to a lot of you, so I'll just tell you, as a fiddler, musician, I developed an interest in the roots of the music I played at dances, clubs, recordings, jam sessions, and for radio and film soundtracks. An unspoken code, which you just referred to in your paper, an unspoken code amongst us fiddlers prompts us to remember, credit, and honor the sources of the tunes that we play. And for me, doing this has almost become an obsession, to quote my wife. I'd like to uncover not just the fiddlers in the chain of passers-on, but the very origins of some of the tunes that I like to play. In the early 1970s, I added Maiden's Prayer to my repertoire for listening in dance clubs in California and the West. When creating my own version, I was inspired by examples from well-known country fiddlers and bands, such as Bob Wills himself. You should probably turn that off so it doesn't go to the next track, Cam. Bobby Hicks, Chubby Wise, Don Rich, the great fiddler and guitar player for Buck Owens, and Tommy Jackson. They all played the piece as a fiddle feature in the key of A, unless accompanying a singer, in which case they modulated from the singer's key to A major for the fiddle solo. This tune was clearly in the honky-tonk vein, with 20th century fiddle ornaments adorning a simple melody over a shuffle beat. It gave a fiddler a chance to shine through the smoke of the nightclubs. During my travels around the United States, I often visited antique stores. I think there's a few of you here who do the same thing, probably. In search of interesting old instruments, records, and sheet music. In some of the stores, I discovered music called Maiden's Prayer, but clearly not the Maiden's Prayer of modern fiddlers. My hunch was that the sheet music must have been an ancestor to the contemporary tune, or perhaps somebody just copied the title when trying to come up with a name for an instrumental. The Maiden's Prayer in the old sheet music was written for piano by a composer with an unpronounceable name. It was in the key of E-flat, which no fiddler would use for a fiddle feature. It included a set of increasingly intricate variations that went up to the violin's seventh position, where fiddlers don't dare to go. And all the versions but one were published before 1937. Scrutinizing the early sheet music, I could make out the melodic shapes that might have inspired Bob Wills' fiddle tune. Over the next decades, I collected many recordings and various publishers printed examples of Maiden's Prayer, and you'll see many of those today. I eventually realized that I had assembled a remarkable barometer of cultural, social, and musical changes from the mid-19th to the mid-20th centuries in my collection of Maiden's Prayer music and recordings. And after doing a bit more research, I've brought some of my findings to share with those of you who are interested in the makings of country music. So, if you could play track two, please, Cam. Same piece. Okay, so this is the oldest surviving piece of printed sheet music that I'm aware of. You can keep that going in the background. It's about a three-minute track. And this is from the Polish National Library, and I inadvertently left them out of my acknowledgments because they've been extremely helpful, both on this project and when I did the film about the Westphalia Waltz. In 1851, a piano prodigy and composer in Warsaw named Tekla Baraczewska, I've since learned how to pronounce her name, wrote Modlitwa Dziewiczy, which means, basically in Polish, Maiden's Prayer, or the Prayer of a Maiden, or the Prayer of a Virgin. The Polish National Library says at least 900 copies were circulated in the 1850s in Poland, mostly Warsaw. But when it was added as a copy, as a supplement, to the Parisian weekly Revue et Gazette Musicale, dated September 26, 1858, the floodgates were opened beyond the borders of Poland. An emerging middle class in Europe and the United States craved the trappings of higher culture, enlightenment, and sophisticated music. In spite of scornful critiques from high-level keepers of culture, a hit was born. When has that happened before? The people loved the tune. Eventually, more than 80 publishers in Europe and the United States printed and sold many versions of Maiden's Prayer for piano, adaptations for other instruments, and songs based on its melody. I'll show you a few of those. This is an early, I think this is Oliver Ditson, yeah, cover of, look at the title in French, and then underneath that, of course, the English translation, Maiden's Prayer. It's probably 1860, maybe 1858. Another one, this is from Miller and Beecham in Baltimore. Still has the iconic image of a maiden praying in the left side, if you can see the engraving well enough. Another, a later Ditson copy. I would guess that's probably from the 1880s, judging from the other Ditson affiliates that are listed and when they were in existence. And then the copy tunes. The piece was so successful that it spawned a variety of sequels and answer tunes, including Baraczewska's own Prayer Granted, the maiden's thanksgiving. So the maiden makes a prayer. Somebody grants the prayer, and she thanks them. And then she went on to write the orphan's prayer. So the Oliver Ditson cover. Barachesca's piece, written for intermediate pianists. It's a set of stylized, florid variations built on a simple arpeggio-based melody and is fairly typical of the parlor piano pieces being written and performed in Europe in the mid-19th century. Reading the sheet music no doubt stymied many middle-class pianists on both sides of the Atlantic who squinted under 19th century kerosene lamps trying to decipher its dense splatters of black ink while remembering to play in three flats. Most publications included the French translation of the title, sometimes in smaller font, sometimes as the primary title. A reflection of the tune's appearance in the Paris Gazette, the French name let observers know that the pianist who was working on the piece was flirting with high culture indeed. But the piece appealed to more than just parlor piano players and their listeners. If you could go to the next track, please, Cam. And bring the volume up a bit. Justin Holland, an African-American composer, guitarist, and arranger, scored Maiden's Prayer for Guitar in 1854, 4 years before its appearance in Revue Gazette Musicale had launched its massive popularity. Holland followed some of Barachesca's structure with a short intro based on the descending major scale and octaves, which you just heard, and a statement of the melody followed by variations. But his arrangement is shorter and simpler. He also placed the tune in the guitar-friendly key of A major, where Bob Wills fiddled the piece 80 years later. By making the tune available for the small and highly portable guitar, Holland may have begun the liberation of the tune from the staid and pauper parlor to the street and then on to the dance hall. In any event, Holland's publication demonstrates that at least one arranger and publisher of guitar music saw an American audience for the piece. Well, Holland was not the only musician to broaden the audience for Maiden's Prayer. If you could play a bit of track number 4. Cam, that'd be great. We're listening now to Each Hour of Life, To Thee I Turn, which is essentially an extrapolation of the melody from the Maiden's Prayer, very much like the melody that Justin Holland had pulled up 4 years earlier. Songwriter and music educator John Stoll Adams, working with tunesmith T. Bissell, put together a song, Each Hour of Life, or A Maiden's Prayer, which Oliver Ditson published in 1860. Adams also wrote a musical dictionary and a collection of temperance songs, and T. Bissell was another writer who wrote music for choirs, female colleges, broadsides, and General Worth's Quickstep, among other pieces. Bissell whittled Barachesca's melody down to a single line that non-professional singers could navigate and placed the tune in the amateur-friendly key of D, helping to ensure its adoption by an even wider segment of the population. The pair added a bridge in the relative minor so that the tune, minus Barachesca's repetitive variations, could still offer singer and listener some variety while fitting in with the emerging model of a pop song. Could you play that again, maybe in the middle of the track, Cam, if you can fast forward to, this is track number 4. Okay, then you can just let that finish out quietly. Just a few years later, in 1869, Elias Howe in Boston published the Quadruple Musician's Omnibus, a collection of popular pieces much like today's fake books that we musicians take to gigs. The omnibus version of Maiden's Prayer is a single-line melody in the key of D, clearly the melody from the song that T. Bissell and John Adams wrote, Each Hour of Life. No harmony is indicated, as is the case for much of the music in the omnibus, but by 1869, The harmony from the earlier 1860 Ditson publication must have been well known to contemporary piano accompanists. Okay, we can advance to the next track. 1914. Because my 78 copy of this is in such bad shape, I had to skip the intro, which is very much like the one that Justin Holland put on the guitar chart, very much like what Bartoszewska wrote in the original music. So 2 years after that omnibus publication, or I'm sorry, 9 years after the omnibus publication, Thomas Edison began recording audio. I haven't yet found any recordings of Maiden's Prayer from the 19th century, but I'm hoping that I can meet people here at ARSC who can maybe find either some cylinders or some earlier discs of the Maiden's Prayer. It was everywhere. After 1889, it was copyright free, public domain. So it must be out there. This is the earliest one I've got. So come and talk with me if you think you can help me with searchable databases, collectors of stuff like that. But I haven't found any recordings of Maiden's Prayer from the 19th century, but Victor made this record in 1914 in Camden, New Jersey. The Neapolitan Trio was comprised of Howard Ratté violin, Clement Baroni flute, and Francis J. Lipitino harp. Here they are. Sorry about the quality of the image. This is Frank, and this is our bells player. With the addition of William Wrights on the bells to help fill out the absent piano parts, the group actually plays the song that John Adams and T. Bissell wrote more than 50 years before, keeping to the violin-friendly key of D while performing in a classical and romantic salon style. The Neapolitan Trio played the hits and classical favorites, and their inclusion of Maiden's Prayer on the Victor disc shows that some 60 years after its initial publication, the piece was still well-known and would likely generate good sales. That the tune retained Bartoszewska's catchy title rather than the more accurate Each Hour of Life shows how powerful Maiden's Prayer still was as a selling point in 1914. Okay, can you advance to the next track, please? Which is track number 6. In 1917, Victor recorded a humorous, sarcastic novelty tune that played on the fame of Bartoszewska's piece, The Modern Maiden's Prayer. By Tin Pan Alley stars James F. Hanley, composer, and Ballard MacDonald, lyricist, came from a completely different cultural perspective than the Neapolitan Trio's stately and romantic Maiden's Prayer of 3 years earlier. Eddie Cantor, the singer, had just begun performing with the Ziegfeld Follies. His spoof of Maiden's Prayer showed his charismatic, Broadway-oriented, stage-savvy delivery. After a brief introduction and the A and B parts, the song segues into the melody that T. Bissell assembled. That's it. Then it plays around with it and varies it. The lyrics poke fun at the choices made by 20th century maidens, ridiculing their preoccupation with worldly possessions and money, and reinforce the belief that to be happy, a maiden just needs a good and wealthy man. Where Bartoszewska's 1850s piece strove to elevate the listener to a spiritual plateau, and the Neapolitan Quartet's 1914 version sought to evoke a reflective calm for the listener, Eddie Cantor used what by 1917 was simply a relic of the Victorian past to make fun of both the holdovers of 19th century culture and the emerging material social values of the early 20th century. Maiden's Prayer seemed to be at the end of its intended life, turned 180 degrees around to look at previous generations through the curvy mirror of a penny arcade. Okay, now we're on to track 7, and we're almost done. Eighteen years after the release of The Modern Maiden's Prayer, Bob Wills recorded his instrumental version. It's a honky-tonk fiddle feature of stunning simplicity and directness. Shorn of Bartoszewska's embellishments and bric-a-brac, and freed from the piano-friendly key of E-flat, The melody rests comfortably in the key of A, the fiddle key of A, where Wills easily exploits the country fiddle ornaments of his day and delivers a straightforward and adroit performance of a medium tempo dance number. Wills repurposed the tune when he recorded it and played it at dance clubs all over the Southwest. Within a decade, other country fiddlers had recognized the opportunities inherent in the simple structures and the melody that Wills used in his 1935 recording. Subsequent fiddlers and their bands added newer chord progressions and more virtuosic fiddle licks while keeping Wills' basic form and melodic shape, and a 20th century showpiece emerged from the ashes of Tekla Bartoszewska's Maiden. And if you could play, let's see, you can segue to the next track. With the 19th century maiden, or virgin to use another translation, is depicted on sheet music covers in religious rapture, praying before the Bible and relics, John Adams and T. Bissell's song is somewhat ambiguous about the devotion embodied in the prayer. The lines, "May the pure feeling, upward now stealing, ever be strengthened twixt thee and me," do little to resolve the question of whether the maiden's devotion is to God or a lover. And when Eddie Cantor delivers James Hanley's lines about prayer, the maiden is asking for limousines, show tickets, millionaire boyfriends, diamonds, and lasting youth. By the 1930s, the maiden had left religion behind, choosing instead the piano bar and form-fitting dresses and burying her shoulders with a come-hither look. The meanings of both maiden and prayer changed significantly in the 80 years between the tune's composition and Bob Wills' 1935 recording, and the sheet music covers and the lyrics both serve to deliver quite different messages. They also reflect the journey the tune made from the stately parlor and the salon to the street, the Broadway stage, and eventually the honky-tonk dance floor. I will be watching for ways that new generations continue to change the maiden and her prayer. Thanks very much. After that obsessive 20 minutes on one piece of music, are there anybody who dares to ask any questions? It was extremely popular. I mean, over 80 publishers in less than 100 years. And student piece is probably correct. I doubt that Tekla Bartoszewska intended it as a student's piece because there was no accompanying explanatory material in the early version. But that's what it really is. It's relatively challenging for a young piano student. But I've had students or piano players in my studio that just breeze through it. Yeah. That's what you just listened to earlier in the second track on the CD is the actual note-for-note Bartoszewska piece. But yes, YouTube is replete with mostly Asian people, but a lot of people are playing with various skill levels the 1850s version of Maiden's Prayer. Thanks, Dick. Yeah. Anything else? Yes, sir. Mike.
Did Wills always start the piece with those first four notes?
No. Well, I would have to put it back on and I could tell you what they were. But essentially, that was the steel guitar, which was a new instrument, relatively new instrument in 1935. And on the lap steel guitar, they're tuned like a chord and it's very easy to do that kind of stuff. So that shows up all the time in steel guitar recordings. I don't know the intentions of the steel player at that session regarding that, but I will tell you that it follows very closely the introduction. If Wills was thinking of the original version of the piece when the band arranged it, the original version of the piece starts out with these chime-like descending, it's actually a major scale in octaves. And it's on the guitar version that Justin Howland released in the 1850s as well. So in a way, it's keeping the tune's roots front and center, because it starts with a similar introduction. But I think you're likening it to the NBC chimes is a good take on it as well. I hadn't thought of that. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Is there any way of knowing where Bob Wills heard this song?
That's a really good question, and I've certainly asked that question a lot of times. So how did Bob Wills turn this into a fiddle tune? Because Bob Wills, I think he was born 1905, 1906, because he kind of came of musical age. He began his first professional fiddling gig, he was 10, so that's 1916. So he certainly would have heard the Neapolitan Trio version that we heard, the classical version. Early in his professional career, when he was already playing on the radio with a successful band, he took violin lessons from a woman that would later become one of his five wives. And she was struck at his great natural ability on the instrument, and also that he could, about how out of tune he and the other musicians in the bands played, even when they were on stage or on the radio. She had a strong classical background, and I wouldn't be surprised if she had the tune at her music studio at her house. But I really studied hard in that the only biography that I have by Charles Townsend of Bob Wills, and followed all the references to Maiden's Prayer, and none of them can help answer that question, I'm sorry to say. Anybody else who knows about early country? Dick. Yeah, Spanish two-step is what Dick just mentioned, if you couldn't heard how, you know, Wills was putting things on fiddle that didn't necessarily start out there, and part of Wills' intent with a Western swing sound and with his band, the Texas Playboys, was to deliver a new kind of music with a string band. That was sort of his stated intent time and time and time again, and even though he eventually added many, many horns to the band, he was trying to bring new music to string bands, and this is essentially a good example of that. I would love to find out, you know, find some other sources so we could find out if there was a pre-existing fiddle version of it. But the song was certainly there since the 1850s. Anybody else? Thank you very much.